Hi, and welcome to another episode of For Fan's Sake. This week, I'm joined by Phoebe Schechter and Kenny Bellow. Both collectively are UK Dukes, but individually have got their own careers that we'll go through shortly. So, Phoebe, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, I first and I guess foremost work in American football as a coach. So for the past kind of two and a half years, I've had the privilege of being with the Buffalo Bills as originally with DBs and then moved on to assistant kind of tight end, but assistant offensive coach, including assisting defense and special teams and really anything that they needed. We kind of created this new role.
So as someone who knows very little about American football, what does that mean? Because I don't understand a single word you just said.
Absolutely. I'm still trying to figure it out.
She's a really good assistant.
Basically, anything that anyone needs, I'm there to help with. So offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, because in American football, unlike rugby, you have allotted teams for offense, a lot of teams for defense, and for special teams, which are when you know kick off to start a game and then punting to get that kind of fourth down.
So how many players in a team or squad?
Oh gosh, some colleges and universities have 110 players. NFL
language. Please, you're company.
NFL game days, we have 53, and then you've kind of got a practice squad on top of that. So it does fluctuate a little bit, but it's a lot of people, a lot of staff, a lot that goes into actually run an organization and a team successfully.
I guess logistically, trying to play, obviously in America is a big country, trying to play teams across the country is a massive ordeal.
Yeah, say you're on the East Coast and you've got a game in the West Coast, I mean, that's a minimum 6-hour flight. Mm. So for us, that's like flying to, you know,
Nigeria.
Exactly. I was thinking of going next. So. But it is a lot, and you have to accommodate for the time change. You have to accommodate for all the players, the practices, all of that. So it's crazy how many people are actually involved. Sometimes if we take one of the bigger flights, we could have, you know, over 150 people on the flight with us.
It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Expense as well.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, they make enough money. So.
Well, I'm not sure. No one's going to be sitting in cattle class at that point. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of people and a lot that it takes to get a team off the ground.
So what were you doing for those?
So I guess if you look into more of my specific role, especially when I was there for the season, I worked predominantly with the tight ends who, I'm trying to think what position they would be like on rugby that you kind of take, but usually the bigger people, so on
average,
offensive. Yeah. So they can either help you like pass protect. So if their quarterback's throwing the ball, they can be involved in pass protecting, or they can be someone that's allowed to run downfield to catch a football as well, which makes them quite special. Mm-hmm. So they
quite athletic as well.
Yeah, athletic, usually really intelligent guys because they have to know everything about the playbook, you know, apart from the quarterback who is actually organizing the team. The tight ends are pretty much second in terms of the knowledge that they need for the plays. So really usually quite smart guys. I was thinking you guys would make great tight ends. You're about 6 foot six.
bit more height, bit more weight.
So, I mean, daily roles would obviously be including our meetings, again, prepping anything, whether it's literally getting our playbook for the week printed out for the guys.
Who controls the playbook? Who puts that? Is it you? Were you part
there's
of the
a lot of Yeah, there's a lot of people that are involved in that because it's quite a big collaboration. So, you know, depending on, let's say we're going to play the Ravens this week. Mm-hmm. So obviously we would be scouting them. We've got a scouting team who looks into that, into the players, who looks into the coaches and gets all of that information and then presents that to us as an offense or defensive staff. From there, you also have to break down American football into certain situations. Mm-hmm. So we've got first and second downs. You've got third downs, short yardage, 2-minute, 4-minute. you know, and the list kind of goes on, red zone. So wherever you are on the field can be a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the week gets broken down on that. Different coaches are assigned different roles. So maybe our running backs coach is assigned doing the blitzes. So
mm-hmm.
whatever the defense is blitzing, they have to write down all the different combinations and draw
mm-hmm.
them out. And then pretty much every day we're installing that to our players. Based off of all the information as a staff, we come together and we create, you know, certain runs, certain passes that we like against this team, depending on the defensive coverage that they
mm-hmm.
offer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the ones that are our go-to plays. But on game day, there were times where we got up to 150 plays on the quarterback's wrist coach.
Yeah.
So it's a lot.
I'm going to jump in. Away from the football stuff, you had to create, that's how many great posters and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of, you're better off explaining. Phoebe used to like just tell me I'm making posters, and I'm like, wait, you're working for an NFL team making posters? What?
We would just try and find fun ways to get the guys excited or get them really tuned in to who they're going to see. A lot about what we talk about is visualization.
Mm-hmm.
So we would do these, I would make wanted posters. So for defense, for offense, you know, maybe it's the quarterback and perhaps one of their best returners or anything like that.
On the other team.
Yeah, on the other team. Yeah, and so I'd make like print out their little faces, but it always had to be like a really weird face. Like Philip Rivers is fantastic for making these horrible faces. So I find the worst photo of him, kind of Photoshop it onto his board, and then write down, you know, how many interceptions he's thrown, how many fumbles he's got,
mm-hmm.
all these different kind of
negative
stats.
Stuff, yeah.
So for a player, especially when you got rookies, you know, especially in our division, we've got Tom Brady in our division.
Yeah.
But if you can actually show these guys, they're human too, look at all these mistakes that they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it respecting the football. So for us, it's all about the ball, and you have to respect the football. So, you know, we just say they don't respect the football, and these are kind of the things they've done. That's what they're wanted.
Right.
So it just makes it a bit of fun for the guys. And they remember.
Awesome.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Nice. And then so... that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
And now you're back in the UK.
Yes, sir.
What's deciding on the next career move?
I know. I mean, I'd say, and Kenny will same for him, really. We're just kind of wearing an awful lot of hats, spinning multiple plates at the moment. It's a bit madness because, you know, we both are involved with the governing body for American football over here. So Kenny's on the board, which is huge and really exciting. So British American Football Association.
Okay.
So Kenny's just recently been elected onto the board. I chair the Diversity and Inclusion Committee for the board as well. We're both also involved in the Coaches Association, so British American Football Coaches Association, both educators. Kenny works specifically in flag development. I work more in women's development and trying to basically have a lot more retention for within the sport. And then all the other roles. So,
but that's all to do with like coaching and education. And if you can have like better coaches, hopefully you have better athletes and a better standard of play, and we can, you know, move the game up that way. But there are so many different hats. You know, one day we're literally running around in a sports hall with. Another day you're sat in a board meeting with the NFL, just Jags, and it's just night and day different. So you have to be able to almost morph into these different roles, you know? But I think that's one of the things that kind of, it's great being able to like find people to be able to work with her, because there aren't many people who can slot in seamlessly into those different formats. So you walk onto a field, every inch a professional coach. Come off the field, you're in a board meeting, every inch able to present and be, you know, mega corporate
That's
and stuff. Then we're running around with kids, and then you can be that kind of motivator and energizer and stuff. And it's, you know, it's really cool. I wouldn't be doing anything else.
Nice.
Which would be.
You were a teacher.
Yes. I was a primary school teacher.
That's all we're talking.
Another. I can joke it. It's always she's the damn bus, and I just fill in the gaps. So, I started playing regular football in 2004.
He's older than me, just to be clear.
No,
I'm
older
than both of you.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
you win
yes.
that.
Yeah, winner.
You win that.
Always compete, you said always, to yourself.
Yeah. We're kind of, you know, went through uni, kind of did that. You know those years after you finish uni where you're just kind of bouncing around a bit? Did it, so I worked at, in with Barclays for a bit.
I was a removal man.
Okay. Nice. How was that?
Huh?
How was that?
I have a disc removed from my spine because of it.
No way.
Yes.
You didn't.
I have heard it's supposed to be really bad.
Yeah.
You didn't do it very well then.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm doing it all. I'm a little bit shorter than I was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I did those years, kind of eventually ended up going back into uni to do a postgraduate at the PGCE. And then I was a primary school teacher for about 4 years, 4.5 years, I think, 3.5, 4 years. I'm not the best with paperwork, just admittedly, I can put my hands up to that. But I was really good in terms of like working and engaging the children and young people. So I eventually, for myself, wanted to find a way to take my passion, American football, and working with kids and kind of just like smash them together. So I set up my first company. It's called Ignite back then, the Ignite American Football. 2014, I'd say 2013, 2014, which was cool. Eventually kind of wound up working with NFL UK. So they brought me in initially to like work on their youth and community programs.
That's
which is, and did that for a while, you know, eventually ended up getting employed by them, by the NFL. Up until like 2019, and then 2019. So Duke started in that kind of gap, I think 2017, December 2016, January 2017.
Is that when you two met, or you known each other?
No.
We're still trying to figure out how we know each other.
Yeah.
I know it was along the line of American football, and I've been playing flag. Kenny's obviously, you know, he used to play for GB.
Mm.
And
you know,
then,
you know, you just end up at these events where someone's there, but they're just
all the time
over there.
Yeah.
And I used to volunteer for NFL UK when they would run their community days of the team.
Yeah.
And Kenny was always the leader for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a Bengals day, and I felt like the queen, because he was like, oh, you can just run this little thing. I was like, oh my gosh, Kenny Beller is giving me roles. How the tables have turned.
Do you know what it is? Do you know, you meet certain people and there's just an aura, an energy about them.
Natural
and then, right? But not even between us, kind of watching the way, like anyone that's ever been in a room with Phoebe knows that like she kind of just, the energy is just there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the things that right up to the way to the Bills that like, they always talk about her energy and positivity and stuff. So, and then like, on top of just being having all this energy, she was actually really capable in terms of working with, and it was the best because those days it would be like 150 kids, you'd get these random volunteers, you didn't really know who you were getting, and then you're trying to like put people in places, like you've got those 15 kids, you've got, and you know, the kids are running around stations. So where for me it was great to find someone who I didn't have to monitor and what, you know, so I was just like, Phoebe, those three stations, you run them, like, man, you know, and it was just that natural. But I think it's one of those things that, like, if you know your stuff, if you're confident in yourself, like, I think other people see it and then are more willing to, like, empower you and push you into the right, you know, situations. And as long as you're happy to work and work on yourself and stuff, like, and that's how, you know, so we cannot remember the first time we met, but somewhere along the lines, she just wouldn't leave me alone.
That was
she just
well, we started the NFL UK office pretty much the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really how, you know, both
what
kind of
say?
We started the same day.
No.
Well, in terms of we signed our
contracts. We signed contracts.
You've
I
been
was,
there,
was definitely,
you were there
I was like,
ages before
what?
Me. And then don't you worry. And just working like community and grassroots, and I think just kind of developed from there, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in terms of learning how to catch a football. Like I've always played defense, and I think in the past.
Yeah, we saw that earlier when he took the catch.
Feed me.
Much love, Ben. Much love.
Absolutely took it.
Yeah.
That was didn't
let go of the balls, to be fair. I know. Yeah, I mean, that's a real wing feat there. How long's that football?
I'm doing your innocent faces. You're like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I just don't know what happened.
Wasn't there an error? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were saying?
No, just that, you know, we started then, and I'd always been defensive. I'd never even learned how to throw a football properly, how to catch a football, and you know, Kenny's kind of been instrumental into my development as a player as well as a coach. So
ended up getting a run out as a GB wide receiver.
It was run with no yak, so no yards after catch.
Right.
Yeah. I would catch and fall. But I will get you that first down. Yeah, that's it.
That's nice.
So what are you guys doing together now? They've got UK Jukes t-shirt on.
Yeah, so this is the brand.
What makes it the main company and everything stems from that?
Yes, exactly. So it's a, I think the, when I, so when it went from, the reason the Jukes was set up was because kind of working with these kids and stuff, we'd go in and we'd run these organized, structured sessions.
Yeah.
But anytime we left the kids, like,
and that would come from the NFL UK.
That would be, well, it's a, even
NFL
from before
UK.
NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was teaching in primary school, I taught my kids like how to play football,
okay.
Flag football. But I would, you know, they'd have the footballs at lunchtime, and you look out the window and they're basically playing rugby or like destroying each other on the concrete or hoofing these balls like. I say it was about trying to show if it was just two of you, if you didn't have enough to play the 5-on-5 that Sir showed you how to play, like if there were just two of you at a park and you got a ball, kind of what can you do? So that was literally the very first time we ever filmed anything, was just to like, oh, let's go and try and throw a ball in the basketball hoop or pull off on one handed catch, you know, just fun stuff that you and your mate, you know, things you would do with a mate in the, at the park kind of thing. And that's where the videos started. So put the first kind of videos out. Shout out Austin. Austin was a guy that we started like with the two of us together. He's doing some like cool social media stuff now for like massive companies. So I got you that. But that, and that's how it started. So from there, we kind of started off very much in the kind of trick shot, one-handed catches. But then the idea was to create a brand that people knew was American football and knew was quality.
Mm-hmm.
But within the American football realm, it was important that we'd be able to do whatever. So if like, if it was coaching, if it was playing, if it was, I say the trick shot element, helping people develop their teams, right? So kind of then took it to a more business element.
So UK Jukes just because it sounded posh?
Pardon?
Why UK Jukes? So just because it sounded posh?
Interesting, right. So swings and roundabouts. I was looking for something that spoke to royalty. And that was the, so I was thinking UK Kings was, it had to be UK because I didn't want people to think it was just an American company, you know, just right? So had to have the word UK in there. And it was like UK Kings, and it's, you know, you Google these things and it's like, there's a lot of things called Kings this or whatever.
Yeah.
So kind of look, princes, no, you're not the king. You know, it's a, kind of had that kind of back and forth, always just idea clouds and stuff. But eventually landed on Jukes as kind of, you can be a Duke, like the Queen's husband is a Duke. He's not the King, but he's up there still.
So UK is in Dukes.
Exactly, right? So, but then also the actual ball that they play with in the NFL is called the Duke.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
You told me last time.
Oh, I told you.
Sorry, I remember.
Thank you. which then was just a nice affinity for it. So Wilson, we didn't. It's not trademark infringement. Don't
you
send
can't
the lawyers.
The Duke, can you?
No, but there's a whole story about a Brit and the football and how the name came about as well. So there's actually a lot of tying into it. I don't know. The
I was
going to
say.
Right now.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to tell
that
it.
One after
but,
and so, yeah, I have heard the story once. I didn't retain it, but. So and that's, so that's how kind of the name was born. So from then we now do, we've got our own like merchandise online through EP Sports, who are a good supplier of American football. Great supplier of American football.
Dodgy t-shirt.
We have a schools program nationally. So
tell us about the schools program.
Okay. So the schools program is essentially a one-stop shop for to get a school started and get American football into their curriculum permanently, right? So I think what, from the feedback we've had, a lot of people find is that whoever, whether it's like local teams, community teams, whether it's the NFL, Jags, UK, whoever, kind of go in, run these
great
days,
yeah,
or, you know, and they're fantastic. You know, kids, the teachers are really engaged, but then there's no
follow up,
you know, and then
it's
you
like
know,
like a firework moment, and then it's
yeah,
gone.
And then it's yes, gone. It literally dies away.
And we
and
need
then,
sustainability.
I was literally going to say sustainability is that key word. That how do you make it so that actually you give the school, you know, that there's that, there used to be this charity advert where it was like, give a man a fish and he'll eat for the day, but
yeah,
teach him how to fish and he'll feed his family for forever kind of thing, right? So the whole program now is set up to, so we have, as part of the package, you get 3 teachers trained up, the official, this is where all the hats start coming in, the official AFCA coaching level 1,
okay,
which enables them to run the flag. They get a scheme of work that's the most, being a teacher myself, it's the most comprehensive thing I've ever come across in terms of lesson plans, shows you, like, it's got graphics on it that shows you what all the movements should look like. You can adapt it for yourself so you fit it into your own timetable, etc. You get us, so we come in for, as well as the training day, we'll come in for a day kind of to work with the schools, want to teach a PSHE day like we've just done at Shoreham Academy, and just help them with whatever they're doing, but tie it in with ourselves or American football. And then we put on a festival for them at the end as well. And they get the, you know, there's just a bunch of stuff tied into it.
So what schools will we be doing? What's the age group? Was it?
This is from, so we say like Key Stage 2.
Okay.
So basically from 8 years and older.
Suppose they've got the ability to catch and throw.
Yeah, literally. And right up to post-16s. We worked with kind of adult groups. Everything for us is just about literally building participation in football, right? So anything that takes, whatever it takes to get people playing and playing on a regular basis, we're there. Like, anybody can help that.
So is there any sort of school, how many schools are you working with at the moment?
Yeesh.
So at the moment we are probably with 20 in total, kind of spread across the country. We've got more clusters that we're about to start working with. It just makes sense when you've got a cluster, because then you guys can almost start creating your own leagues, ideally, and be able to play.
Exactly, having one at Brighton, one at Liverpool, one at Manchester, one at Newcastle.
Yeah. Just in case clusters are where, just in case people don't know, clusters are where like schools are, they work together in a locality. So it means like stuff like tournaments, games are easier to facilitate rather than having to travel miles to.
Yeah, and so, I mean, really, we only started this in September. So for us, our goal was originally the first year to get 25, and then just build it from there. So I think we're well on our way to achieve that.
Yeah.
And both of us are very competitive anyways, and we just want to be...
I'm aware you were.
Yeah. We just want to be the best at what we can do. But, you know, the bottom line of it all is helping others and you know, giving people opportunities to fall in love with this sport that we love so much.
There's nothing quite like it, really. I used to like watching, but I didn't even know what I was watching. It's basically an excuse to stay up late.
Yeah.
And now I'm actually kind of, maybe for talking from you guys, getting enthusiastic from you guys, I do understand a little bit more. I did understand a little bit more about it. It's actually quite a strategic game.
Yeah.
It's more strategy than it is sport, as a, in a weird kind of way. What I was going to ask was, is there anything that, like, at those 20 schools, is there anything that they have in common in terms of the students, so the students are their age, or is it because they not very good at football? So do you normally get schools that are very good at football, soccer?
Honestly, like, I think the one thing that we find are, and not trying to guilt trip anyone or anything, but it's quite often actually the schools that are a bit more progressively minded, schools that are trying to do new things and bring new experiences for their children, that are the ones that are willing to take it on and try it. And I mean, as you've seen, like, there's rarely, when people try it, it's so much fun, they love it. We've had so much positive feedback from teachers about children who were previously like unresponsive, not really interested in day-to-day stuff, but they take part in flag football and whatever it is, that magic sauce, maybe it's us, maybe like it's the sport. A combination of the two. Whatever it is, they just seem to really take to it and kind of want more of it.
And I think one of the biggest things is that comes up a lot is actually because American football is such a new sport and we're playing five-a-side, non-contact, you know, we have flag belts, but because it's a new sport, there are no, the playing field is level in terms of experience and ability. There's no academy kids that are coming through. It's also mixed. So boys and girls are playing all the way from, you know, primary all the way through to being adults. So actually it creates a lot more opportunities for everyone. And we found, especially the younger kids, girls tend to be better at the sport, you know.
That's all right, didn't we? Yeah. We had, we had 12 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sorry. And was it five girls? And they got stuck in as much as anyone else. Yeah. Kind of, the way we kind of played it, it was kind of like basketball, netball really, wasn't
it? Yeah, ultimate.
Kind of
ultimate
like netball,
football,
but that's really doesn't sound like it was that much fun.
No.
Netball didn't seem that active, but it was actually really interesting.
And it comes down to the key skills. It's essentially throwing and catching, right?
Yeah.
And
if you look at
the kind of, especially from a sports standpoint, the skills that are most focused on, because I call it soccer, you'll forgive me. Normal football for the best of
soccer and
sleep. Right? Because normal football is so prevalent, and then right, and also even if you look at the more hands-on sports, rugby's a short passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's very little that as a culture we do in the UK where it's right, run at full speed, I'm going to throw this thing, whatever it is, and you have to catch it while you're moving at speed. So
someone's trying to break
your face.
Yeah.
We filmed before with the local football team, didn't we?
We did.
And we sort of put the pads and everything on them. I tried the helmet on, and the vision you have in there is horrific.
Yeah.
You don't really, you know, actually throw the ball over, I reckon I could do that.
Yeah.
And then you put in someone's going to tap you out, okay, that might be a little bit hard. And you put the helmet on, you're like, oh, she can't see anything. It's like literally like looking through a letterbox.
Yeah.
I have a newfound respect. Because my attitude is I feel like I can do anything. And then it put
you
it into reality.
You can do anything.
Trust me, I can't. So that's my attitude. And I go, I don't enjoy it. I can do driving.
Mm.
And I go and see what they do. I go, I couldn't.
No.
And it's exactly the same as that. You watch on TV and I could catch it. How old is it? To catch the ball.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be as fast as Jumper's Heiser, but I reckon I could do the basics.
Yeah.
And you just put the pads and I can't move.
No,
yeah.
And you put the hat on, the helmet on, and you go, I can't see. Oh, no, I definitely can't do this.
Yeah. It's really strange. And they're like, one of the things we found with the social media, I said we did the trick shot element, right?
Mm.
One of the real struggles we have, and one of the kind of, I won't call it a problem for the NFL players per se, but because the things they do look so easy.
Yes.
It just, you watch someone, he's running down the field and he's catching the football.
You
like,
say
how
that, couldn't you? You could say Messi
right?
makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
So he's just running around.
He's doing against the best footballers in the world.
Like,
yeah.
When you start to really get a feel for the speed at which they're doing it and the because of their size and weight and the amount of power they generate, some of those collisions are like massive. And you're just like, thanks, guys.
I'll keep watching on TV. So, if schools wanted to get involved in that, what sort of schools, is it literally anyone? Or
yeah,
they involved,
literally, I mean, find us however you can. We have the ukdukes@gmail.com is the email address. There's a social media on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever it is. And just get in touch. Like, we're great. I touch wood. You know, we've been really good with kind of getting back to people that contact literally any school. So we've worked with pupil referral units, we've worked with secondary schools, primary schools, colleges, universities, we've worked with adults. So it's whoever really, it's not even, I say we have a schools package, it's not restricted to schools. It could be, if you feel you have a group of young people or a group of friends who you want to get started, send shoot a message. I mean, like two of the challenges we've taken on are like to make it scalable. It is our
two of you, right?
Right? Yeah. And it's a fantastic two.
That was
definitely
because you are the
still only two. Can only be in, you know, two places at once. but can we make it scalable? So you can't, we don't want to wait for us to be there for people to be able to start playing. Mm-hmm. So can we, you know, make sure these packages, these programs are easily scaled, easily replicated, so that we can kind of, franchise is the wrong word, but have other people kind of running it in the different places.
Yeah.
I'd say one of the other kind of elements of that challenge that we've taken on is we have to start identifying people who have the same energy, who have the same passion, who have the same ability to, you know, get people around them and get them engaged and involved.
I guess we're one of those enablers.
Literally, right?
Yeah.
Who would just, and not, you know, I like the word influencer. I don't like where social media is taking it,
yeah.
if that makes sense. But I think there are people who are influencers on a day-to-day basis that we don't see because...
Yeah.
So, and that's huge. So part of the thing for us is where we are now is trying to find ways of really now scaling that. You know, it's good.
How do you think you're going to do that?
Oh, we need an angel investor. Someone said, if you're watching this right now and you've got $2 million sat to one side, you don't really need, but we there'll be a return. We'll give you like 2.1 back in about 10 years time.
True business. One pitch.
Oh,
that's my event pitch right there. That was it. You got 2 million sat, right? You don't need it. Give it to us, we'll give you 2.1 back in 10 years' time.
Perfect. 10 grand a year.
Yeah.
No, but on a more serious note, it's about, as I said, we have to, if we can find individuals, we believe we have everything set up. As I said, all the schema works are there, the templates are there, everything's set up. It just needs people now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, without putting too fine a point in it, and you're talking after this, like, the phrase would be, might be like, you've got to come correct. You have to be about it. This is not as easy as it might look, as, you know, it's actually a lot of hard work. It's a lot of graft. There are lots of, just being honest, like days that aren't as easy as it might seem, you know? So everyone sees, you know, the Instagram post and think, oh, what was it this morning? The life of Riley. Someone commented about, oh, you guys, wake up when you want to, travel here, down there.
Yeah, we're up at like 4 this morning.
Yeah. Literally, right?
I'm ready.
So, like, if we can find those people, though, to bring it back to the positive, if we can find those people, I think it's good to go. And then it's just, the more schools get to see, schools really work a lot, especially schools by word of mouth, and you get to have people to show what you've done. But the more we can do that and keep it going at a high quality, high standard,
mm-hmm.
I think it will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Touch all the wood.
Yeah.
Touch the wood, please.
Let's get this bit
coronavirus. Yeah. How long did we go without coronavirus jokes?
Exactly.
We
did.
41 minutes.
Nice.
So obviously you got the school stuff,
mm-hmm.
and the trick shots, which is more on social media type of stuff, isn't it? What else does the UK Jukes offer?
So we go around basically teams, universities, different countries will have us come out and we'll run camps and clinics. So we're in Sweden next weekend or the weekend after, I think,
mm-hmm.
and running actually women's only camp out there.
Football's quite big out there, isn't it?
All football.
At, like, Finland, Germany, Sweden.
Well,
those are
like, I was also young, hobby, aren't they? So they
yeah,
like,
mm-hmm.
so
like,
smash into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
you probably love it.
I love it. I don't know why I didn't find any of these sports when I was younger. So we go out and do that, and we kind of do a bit of an overhaul of their program. I mean, obviously, every team it's tailored differently because some want focus on certain areas, but we usually work with their women's, youth, junior, adults. Work with the coaches and do like a coaches development day. And then we also will, you know, perhaps look at their practices or their schedules and see how we can make it more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do try and deliver, you know, the full package. And even if that includes some S&C specific work, or, you know, we've done a lot more like diversity and inclusion talks
mm-hmm.
lately,
mm-hmm.
just to bring to the table. So it's been really good. And this summer, actually, we're gonna run our first women's American football camp. So
I'm
really excited for it. It's going to be in Nottingham.
Yeah.
It's kind of the back end of June, but we've got NFL coaches. We've got NCAA, so college coaches coming over from the States. And it's going to be pretty much 4 days where these participants can feel like American football players. So all their meals, their accommodation, you know, we'll be having two practices a day, a million meetings, they'll be over it by the end of it. And then we're finishing off with games on the Sunday, so full 11-a-side games on the Sunday.
Mm. Full contact?
Full contact, yeah. Absolutely.
All the bells and whistles.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's really cool because it's one of the few chances that, especially in the UK, ladies have a chance to play full 11-a-side mm-hmm. football, because the normal league, to call it Sapphire League, is 7-a-side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a condensed, in the same way, you know, mm-hmm. Condensed game. So this will be a great opportunity. And then the caliber of coaches that are coming across, you know, I just being frank, like one of the kind of feedback we get from, especially women all the time, is they often have to take part in something that's for someone else, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to take part in the men's camp or
mm-hmm.
whatever. But this is one where we're saying, like, this is just for women who want to play and coach, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's in women's focused camps.
So it's experienced football, American football for today, the next half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
For experienced football players, is it the team signs up for it, or do they as individuals sign
individual,
up for it?
Some okay. teams will sign up for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a shadow coach program that's attached to it. So, you know, part of us, and I guess our backgrounds anyways, is we want to make sure that people are always given opportunities to develop. So essentially, we'll have our main coaches that are coming over. So let's say your 7 coaches that are over here, and through the shadow coach like application program, each position coach will then have 2 coaches assigned to them who will be able to learn from them, pick their brains,
okay.
you know,
so
go over drills.
Yeah,
growing.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
So amazing. How many women are you expecting to go?
So ideally, we're looking to have about 150, especially as our first year.
This is a small number.
Yeah. I know. We'll see how this goes. We might be very stressed at the end of it. But
yeah.
No, honestly, we're just looking forward to it. We're looking forward to giving females an opportunity where they can really shine, create some highlights off of it
yeah.
for them. So if, you
well,
know.
The law, I'm sure it'll come down.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. But, you know, also we're working with a team called Podium, and that's what this is based off of. Podium W is what it's called, where we're going to create a network for females. So let's say you're a player in the UK and you're looking to go play abroad next year. Well, here's a great site where you can communicate with other coaches, other teams. So if I want to go play out in Finland or in the States, it's going to be kind of like a hub for all of these connections. So
okay.
we are really trying to just give athletes and coaches a place where they can have these communications.
Okay, so it's kind of for women who want to have a career in American football?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that?
To be honest, they're
used... you did not know, like, everything else.
Yeah. back, like, a few years ago, and really kind of how I got into, well, kind of the start of my coaching career, was USA Football is the kind of governing body over in the States
mm-hmm.
for American football. And they used to run these camps called Women's World Football Games. Again, open to people from all over the world. And I mean, I think we had like 24 countries represented at these camps. And it was a really, really exciting event. You got to really kind of build your network.
It was tied in with Pro Bowl.
Tied
right,
in with,
yeah.
So it ended up being tied in with Pro Bowl as it got more developed. And then they started doing these women's careers forums off the back of it. So they would have, you know, refs or GMs or dietitians or owners from the NFL teams come and speak to females about the opportunities that are in sport. But also they were really honest and they gave what it was actually like to be in and a part of the NFL. So that's inspired me for quite some time. And I think, again, it's just was waiting for having the right people around. So obviously Kenny and then teaming up with Podium W,
yeah.
it just made sense. And it felt like a great time over in the UK. It's a non-competition year for basically for American football. Last year we had Euros. So this is a year off for international competition.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, what better way than to help people develop?
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's one of the coolest things about women's American football is we may play for different teams throughout the year and the different countries, but actually the network is so close, and we all then come together and we get to play against, you know, play against each other and like a community. Mm, and it's definitely something that's always been really unique and great to be a part of, to be honest.
Nice. So it could be kind of women who want to have a career, and it's kind of an eye opener of what this is, what it's expected. This is your right plan. This is the 11 year coaching you should have.
Yeah.
This is what you need to retain as information for your different plays and things.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I meant to ask you earlier, how many plays are in a playbook? Obviously, it's crazy to ask.
NFL, right?
NFL?
Yeah.
It's kind of infinite in a lot of ways. So obviously, again, defense and offensive playbooks are very different.
Yeah.
So defense is usually a lot more condensed. And again,
smashing.
Yeah, that's it. Offense and defensively, you'll have different kind of philosophies, and depending on who your coach is. So you'll always have for both kind of your core plays that you feel really comfortable with, your quarterback or, you know, defensive coordinator is comfortable with. But for offense, there were times where we would have 150 plays per game.
And they're all from scratch, or they're from past
some of them before? Were building up, some of them weren't, some of them
some of them are like tags on other plays. So you just add a wrinkle, you add an element to something you had before. And that's why when Phoebe says infinite, is because you can take a quote unquote base play, but you change something, like you can add a something called a motion where you move a player just always snap it, you move them across, or you change the formation, that it's just the same play, you know.
So you're kind of politely saying it was a stupid question.
You know, you said earlier, I mean, American football is like aggressive chess with humans.
Yeah.
And there are games within the game that are always occurring.
That's what I quite like about
it. It's like Battleship, if you guys remember playing that. So, you know, we're always trying to find something. So, you know, you've also got the plays, but now you've got different formations that I can run the plays out of. I've got different personnel groupings that I can run them out, because I'm always looking for mismatches, and I'm always looking to give myself that upper edge.
And you got to think, for all the plays that you're, if you're your offensive coach and you're saying, oh, we're going to do this, for everything that you're doing and every tendency you show and every trait you show, there's a guy sat on the other sideline who's, he's going to do this next. Mm. He's going to do this next. So then you're trying to, okay, I'm going to do this, and he's going to think I'm going to do that, but then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he's over there thinking, I'm going to make him think I'm going to do this, and he's going to do that.
That's what I love about it.
The back and forth.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, so let's say you do an amazing play, and it's so creative, no one's expecting it, no one's seen it before.
Yeah.
Is that basically you burn that, you can't use that one again, or?
You probably wouldn't use it again in the same, if it's like some people call it like a gadget play or a trick play, you probably wouldn't use that play again in the same game, but that doesn't mean you can't pull from it. And even a lot of these gadget plays that you're seeing at the moment in the NFL are stolen from college. They're old school plays that are
is massive for it, isn't it? I think Miami did one last season where they played you past, they actually did like 10 passes.
Basically played rugby.
Yeah.
A few four passes. Yeah.
And that tends to happen when it's just kind of, that is the proper Hail Mary in my book, where it's just like, guys, probably not going to work, but let's just try and find a way. But two good examples of those kind of trick plays and stuff that you use are, if anyone's been watching American football for the last 2 years, Philly Special.
Okay.
Which the Philadelphia Eagles did in the Super Bowl, where the quarterback pretended to be communicating with these players, and then they snapped the ball to someone else, and then they did an end around, and then they threw it to, they would not use that. They didn't use it all season at all, so no one had ever seen it, and that's the only time they could use that. But because they were in the position to use that.
And they would, just so I can interrupt on that, and they would have scouted that team as well. So they might have installed that play knowing they want to use it, but actually you're still looking to use it against maybe an ill-disciplined defense. You know, so there's still even the element of what can I attack? What are the weaknesses of the team that I'm going against? Mm-hmm. Who are the weakest players on that
team? So you would identify it as part of your research. You go, this defensive, whatever you want to call them. So we know he's always actually, before the snap, the first quarter, he never pays attention. He doesn't really switch on to the third quarter. You go, he's hammering in.
Could be as simple as, every time the quarterback's communicating, this guy stands up.
Yeah.
Like, he stands up straight. Or it could be, it could be.
Oh yeah,
that simple, right?
And the more, that's just it. Yeah. Like the more that you learn about it, the more like it just gets like addicting to be a part of. And that's why people who, and I was definitely one of these people where I'm like, it's so start and stop. What are they doing? Why are there so many people? But actually, when you really start understanding and kind of breaking it down, and if you, you know, if you're someone that doesn't love the sport, have someone that knows the sport sit with you and kind of watch it and talk you through it. And and try not to just stare at the person who has the football.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I think a lot of us end up doing, is we just watch who has the football. But actually, there's so many, you know, each of those different positions have different coaches, and they're only coaches.
That's where it gets interesting. Like you said, so each coach, each position has its own coach. And well, that's unbelievable. It's like having a goalkeeper. We have goalkeeping coaches, but then having a centre half coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
right back's coach, different to the left back's coach, different to, you know, winger's coach, different to central midfield. Like everyone's got their own coach and everyone's working. Yeah. I think the other play I was going to say quickly is the one in the most recent Super Bowl where the Chiefs were, again, trying to get, I think it's fourth down, and three of them spin around at the same time.
Right.
Literally all like spinning toss, but that spin just literally changes their alignment, where they line up.
Right.
And if you watch that play, you can watch and you can see, literally see the defense being like, who's like, where have they all moved to? Literally, you know? And I think it's little things like that, that then, so even if there wasn't a particular tell or whatever that they were working on, actually they were just like, we're gonna do something that confuses them for a split second.
So random.
Right,
yeah.
Literally, like, I've never seen anything like it. But then the best bit about it was, afterwards, when they do the, oh, why did you do this? And where is that from? They then showed the play, the video's in black and white. That's how old it was.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where that play was stolen from.
Right.
And it was, so you have these coaches who, some of them just enjoy like digging through archives and archives of old game tape and just, what did they do there? Like, let's try and like, what does it look like now if we did that now? And you know, so
the Chiefs coach is quite famous for that. I remember there's one coach sort of leading up to the Super Bowl. There's one coach that loves throwing it back to high school or college.
Yeah, and Andy Reid's been, you know, he's been a big name within the sport for quite some time now, and he's really, I mean, for me, even my head coach Sean McDermott was under Andy Reid, and a lot of the guys that I was around had worked under Andy Reid. So you know, I think, and that's, you've also got guys growing up in a different generation as well. So they, when I say the memory of some of these coaches is just unbelievable. They can tell you the play that they, you know, what they actually did on that play that they scored a touchdown in and 30 years ago or in this game. I mean, their recall.
It's so impressive.
So they can remember, oh yeah, this play happened, and then, you know, send someone like myself to go research all the gadget plays from back in that. And the fact that also the NFL have this huge library and network. Some of these guys have definitely had these files for a long time, going back to when they would literally exchange videotapes. But you can pretty much access, it's called PFF, so you can pretty much access any team. So I can, you know, Sundays after the games are all uploaded, I can look at any of the games that were played, and it's all broken down for me. You know, everything you could ever need to know, down, distance, results, what players were on the field. I mean, so these are guys' jobs that also do that. Their jobs are literally to enter the data of every single thing that happened on that play, who was on the field, who was involved in the play, what, you know, it's just
the search,
incredible.
The search parameters on the thing are crazy. Like, you can literally research, I want every fumble in the last 4 years that happened in the fourth quarter when this player was on the field.
Yeah.
And it will just throw them up. And you can, you know, so.
So that's unbelievable. So would it ever happen that, say, they were in a game and one of the coaches, the head coach goes, I think we should do this play, but it's never been rehearsed, they've never gone through it again. Is it ever going to be that creativity, or is it a little bit, it can't ever be like that. It has to be, because there's so many moving parts to it. You got to have
think,
almost a choreography
behind
it.
It's very rare that it would be a play.
Okay.
I think players, and you'll correct me wrong, like, can, I think we've seen some great plays where players...
Is it called bootlegging
it? There is a play called a bootleg.
Okay.
That's actually a play.
I'm out of the wrong place.
You'll hear of the odd story where players have just made something up but it's always kind of within a framework of.
So it'd be like slight adjustment.
Literally, I don't know that they'd ever, and I don't know if you've ever seen.
And you'll see it as well. I mean, the quarterback is usually given a little bit of freedom, especially as they develop. They're probably given, like, Tom Brady will have a lot more freedom than someone who's a rookie into the league, because he can see what the defense is trying to do. And, you know, there'll be little signals. So you'll see sometimes they'll call something or they'll give, like, a little signal like that. And it's very quick. You want it to be quite, you want it to be quite hidden like that. And they'll give them that. So, you know, that might mean something different for that receiver to run. And that's their way of being like, I want to see that matchup. I think you'll get this. But because we want our players to play fast and we don't want them to have to think about it, if you are in a huddle and we're in a high stress situation and I'm going to call something that we've never run, people are going to...
And it's too much on the game as well.
Yeah, and the other thing, if that play was so great and you thought you could need it, why was it not installed? So, you know, it then might make you question that coach's
philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the best plays kind of that I can think of on this one is if you Google Ben Roethlisberger or the Steelers, fake spike.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so spiking the ball is when you're kind of running out of the time, running out of time.
Just
you have
the clock,
time out left. So you just...
Yeah, go on.
So the quarterback would take the snap and literally just throw it in the ground.
Yeah.
Right, but before he can do that, he needs all his team to line up.
Yep.
And kind of the general thing, you see it time and time again, teams all, so all the offenses all, they'll say, spike it, you know, and everyone will run up to the line, right? And then say that everyone just has to stand still. But they did it once, the Steelers, and someone else has done it recently, I can't remember who, where it was Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown had obviously worked on this signal in practice. So, like, they're in the exact situation. They're running down, they've just made some big play, they're running down the field, like they're like, spike it. And you just see Ben go look at Antonio and do that. That's all he does, right? Every night I doubt even the rest of the team knew what was going on. But he takes the ball, instead of throwing it into the ground, picks it up and just throws it, and it's a touchdown.
Amazing.
And it's just
that's the sneakiness that I love.
Yeah. Game within the game.
Yeah.
And all perfectly legal.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So what's next for you guys? Obviously you said you met about growing out. The sort of school side of things. Anything else on the horizon?
Schools program. We've got a bit of a return to the trick shot element. So what we're doing now is we have put together a UK Dukes flag football team.
Okay.
And that is kind of, we've handpicked people who are very talented athletes. We've got six girls. Women, ladies, females, and no, I think, or like, yeah, no idea. Phoebe's one of them.
I'm there, so.
Yeah. And the rest of the guys. But the whole kind of idea is we throw tradition out of the window.
Okay.
So if we're at a tournament on the 4th of April out in Leighton, and everything is all, people would consider them trick plays, but they're just playing outside the norm,
okay,
is what we call it. So I have this theory, yet to be proven, that I think, and Kate's kind of following on from your last question, actually, I think especially flag football, maybe not so much contact, but flag football is going to move away from a rigid, you must run your 5-yard slant, you must run your, but it's going to be a lot more free flowing, free movement, so that we're not telling players they must go to a certain place or must go to it, but actually that players have a given creative freedom to move around, and I think so much more could be achieved.
Kind of what we did this afternoon.
That basically,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've got that lining up. I guess part of my roles, I'm coaching for our GB under 19s, which is a new experience for me to be coaching kids like that. Not far off of the adults, to be honest. they're fabulous. I love all the guys either way. Working towards getting flag football into the Olympics as a trial sport for 2028. So I've been the athlete representative for the IOC for the past year now, and that's one of our big goals. So that will be taking a lot of our time and effort as well, because there's a lot of, you know, athlete commissions and a lot of different processes that we put in place. And then personally for me, just seeing what stateside American football situation is and what I can keep achieving. So yeah, I've definitely set the bar high. I think we both have set the bar high for ourselves and we want to do the best we possibly can and keep kind of chasing our dreams. So
brilliant.
That's our plan.
So yeah, so all the stuff we spoke about, where how would they go about finding it? We'll put a link in the description. What's did just go to your social media or to email you if they're interested in the woman's
social media?
Ridiculous.
I want to try to help you.
So
if they're interested in the women's football, Women's American Football Day, the festival.
We can call it whatever you like.
Camp. Or if you're a school teacher and you want to get your
school
program,
literally any questions, we take any questions.
Direct you to a team or anything like that if you're interested.
Find us on Facebook. If you search UK Dukes or UK.Dukes, will come up. Instagram, same handle.
Twitter,
same handle.
LinkedIn
search.
If
the picture will be a cartoon version of me and Phoebe. It's A1. I didn't draw it myself. I do approve of it. It was a good image. But yeah, find us any questions at all. It's not that you have to buy something from us or you have to just if you have a question, whatever it is, please get in touch.
Thank you.
Good speaking to you.
And
Corona,
you.
So thanks a lot for listening. We'll have another show coming up soon, but thanks to the UK Dukes.
Thank you.
Check them out on their socials.
Thanks.
See you later.
See ya.